Another day, another possible solution to the debt ceiling dilemma.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California. Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. There are now just 11 days to go before the federal government hits its borrowing limit and defaults on its debt if there's no deal to raise the debt limit. And so far, lawmakers and the president have not reached an agreement. Today, the Senate is likely to vote down the Republican cut, cap, and balance plan. But now there's word of a new plan. And that's where we'll start with our Washington Bureau Chief, John Dimsdale, who is with us live. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, John, what is the latest plan on the table?
Well, to meet Republican objections to increasing taxes, the president's floating a plan that would make spending cuts first, and only later would tax reforms kick in. Those would close loopholes and raise rates for wealthy individuals. But those kinds of revenue enhancements, which means tax increases, yeah, would be contingent on successfully trimming spending first. The problem is the president risks losing support from fellow Democrats in Congress who want to avoid some of the more drastic spending cuts by increasing revenues. So it's not clear that what the leaders are talking about is going to fly with the rank and file.
And with all this back and forth in Washington, John, it does seem that markets are taking this uncertainty pretty well. But how are Wall Street's concerns playing into the debate in Washington?
Yeah, I think they're warning that that's not going to stay the case. Credit rating experts met yesterday with freshman Republicans, the Tea Party members who've been standing in the way of a debt ceiling increase, to warn them of the real financial consequences of forcing the government to default on its bills. Nothing definitive from the meeting, though.
Marketplace's Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Well, now to China, which is shipping something to the U.S. this week that is a whole lot bigger than an iPhone or a piece of clothing. It's sending over part of the Bay Bridge that connects San Francisco and Oakland and carries 250,000 vehicles a day. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports now from Shanghai.
Here, on an island where the Yangtze River meets the Pacific, is where Li Jianghua wants to prove a point. For years, he says, the world has looked down on anything made in China. Times are changing.
This project should help finish off the idea that made in China stands for poor quality.
China is upgrading from the world's factory to the world's engineer. Li's crew is putting the finishing touches on the last of four sections of bridge. California officials estimate they've saved nearly $500 million by hiring Li's company, Shanghai Jianhua, to build the eastern span of the new Bay Bridge. In the 5 years it's taken the company to build it, Li says this island has become the world's largest steel construction site.
After we landed the Bay Bridge project, more international projects came our way. We're now working on bridges for Denmark, Italy, Scotland, Macau, and Norway.
Sections of bridges are scattered all over the island. UC Berkeley engineering professor William Ibbs says Jianhua reminds him of big American engineering firms like Fluor and Bechtel, firms that have spent decades building a global profile.
And they've been exporting American skill and expertise to those countries. Well, here we have, you know, a reversal of the situation where Chinese skill and expertise is being exported into America.
Unlike international construction firms outside China, Jianhua's labor costs are low. Workers here are paid $12 an hour. And there's another difference, says Li. Jianhua finished the project 5 months ahead of schedule. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in overseas trading this morning, more than 2% in Hong Kong. European countries and the IMF pledged another $155 billion to bail out Greece. And here in this country, we got earnings from Microsoft, which reported 30% growth in its entertainment and devices division. Think the Xbox. But sales of its Windows operating system dropped 1% thanks to a slowdown in PC sales generally. Think tablets. Today, earnings season continues with quarterly reports from McDonald's, Verizon, and General Electric. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 152 points to close at 12,724.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
Now to the world of magazines, which have been a little thinner when it comes to advertising ever since the recession hit, but it looks like things have turned around. As Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports from New York, the doorstopper fall fashion magazine is back.
Ad sales are up for the all-important September issue of many fashion magazines. Vogue will have 584 ad pages this fall, 50 more pages than last year. Cosmo and Marie Claire will be a lot thicker as well.
Well, we're seeing a turnaround in parts of the industry.
Ken Doctor is a media industry analyst for Outsell. He says it's not because of discounting. As consumer spending rebounds, clothing and cosmetic companies are flocking back to magazines because they have a unique appeal that online media can't match.
It is the old-fashioned leafing through. The pleasure of the magazine, the glossy color of the magazine, it is that kind of medium that delivers attractive advertising about attractive products.
Still, Doctor points out things are bleak in much of the industry. At newspapers and news weeklies like Time and Newsweek, ad revenue continues to drop. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, to the heat wave that's hitting much of the country, it's making a lot of people just want to jump into a nice, cool swimming pool. Well, that won't be possible anymore for a homeowner in Richland Hills, Texas, whose pool was stolen. That's right. According to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, a 10-foot-tall orange and blue pool, complete with a slide, was taken last weekend by unidentified pool thieves. It's too bad, really, because the high today in Richland Hills, Texas, 102 degrees. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.